Now, obviously, friends are important to us. I love to call someone my friend. And friends were important to Jesus. In fact, he chose 12 men at the beginning of his public ministry to disciple, to become his friends. But these special friends really didn't always act like best friends forever. For example, they selfishly argued which of them would be the greatest in the kingdom. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was arrested, Mark chapter 14 tells us all his disciples deserted him and ran away. And we know that Judas betrayed Jesus, and we know that Peter denied his Lord. I say that's not what friends are for. That's not what friends do. But Jesus came to be the friend of sinners. He came to enable us to be his true friend. And this morning, I want us to see what a true friend of Jesus looks like. If you've ever wondered, how can I describe Jesus' friends? I'm going to take John chapter 15 this morning and tell you what the characteristics of Jesus' friends are. Now, those who are followers of Christ are given a number of names, titles in the Bible. For example, we are called beloved of God, children of God, Christians, the elect, heirs of God, lights in this world, living stones, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, salt of the earth, vessels unto honor. We are even called saints. Now, please understand that this list is not exhaustive that I've just given you. There are other New Testament designations for the Christian. And, of course, one of those is found in the portion of Scripture that we're going to look at this morning, and that's John chapter 15. And notice verse 14, Christ is speaking here, and he says, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." One of the designations of the Christian in the New Testament and his relationship or her relationship with Christ is friend. For our study this morning, I want us to see from verses 12 through 16 how Jesus marks, how he defines, how he distinguishes those whom he calls friends. In other words, I know we're being redundant here, but I'm trying to make a point. He's going to tell us here what his friends are like. We find here four identifying characteristics, and these will be our points this morning. And the first characteristic is Jesus' friends love one another. Characteristic number two, Jesus' friends obey God's commandments. Point number three, or characteristic number three, Jesus' friends are the recipients of the truth. And characteristic number four, Jesus' friends are personally chosen by him. In John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, we find that Jesus' friends are characterized by love. And that's our first point this morning. Jesus' friends love one another. Follow with me as I read verses 12 and 13. Christ said, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Back a couple of chapters in John 13, our Lord said to his disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." And so here in John chapter 15, for the second time that evening in the upper room, Jesus gave the commandment that his followers, his friends, are to love each other. And the beauty of keeping this commandment is that we then keep all the other commandments. Listen to Paul's words in Romans chapter 13, verses beginning with verse 8. "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. In other words, if you love others, you'll treat others in a way that is in accord with the rest of the commandments. You're not going to steal from someone you love. You're not going to lie to someone you love. You're not going to cheat someone you love. And I think you get the picture. Now, the standard for our love for others, if you look back at John 15, is seen in Jesus' words in verse 12, as I have loved you. How are we to love others? With the same love Jesus loves us. I think of that verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us. And how did he supremely love us? Well, he died for us. He laid down his life for his friends, as we see in verse 13. Romans 5, 8 certainly describes this laying down of his life. But God commendeth, God has shown, God has proven his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, how do we as Christ's friends practically live out this greatest gesture of love? I mean, how do we, like our Lord, lay down our lives for the brethren, for our friends? Are we to, in reality, give our life for the people in this room? Well, maybe there are situations where that might be necessary, but if I gave my life for you and you gave your life for me, then there wouldn't be any of us around, amen? And I don't see the huge practicality of that. Listen to the Apostle John's answer to our question in 1 John chapter 3, verses 15 through 18, or verse 16. Let's start with verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. All right, there it's stated again. But notice then in the next two verses how that is applied. Verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. How do we lay down our lives for others, for our friends? How do we live out the practicality of loving others? It's called outward kindness. Outward kindness. And so again, Jesus' friends are marked by their love for one another. His friends are distinguished in that they love others, they serve others, they give to others. Now, if someone watched you, let's say for 12 hours, they arrived at your home in the morning when you got up, and they really observed you throughout your waking hours. Could that person say at the end of the day, you are a friend of Jesus? For you manifested a selfless devotion in meeting the needs of others. You went out of your way to give, to serve, to love others. Now, we can be very trite when we say that, but when you take that to heart, it really, love comes alive. Can you imagine what this world would be like if all the Christians really were friends of Jesus? And friends of Jesus lay down their lives for others. And friends of Jesus give of what they have to others. Ladies and gentlemen, that is laying down your life for others. And so doing, what a testimony you would be for the Christians' love for each other is the church's most powerful apologetic to the unbelieving world. For Christ said in John chapter 13, verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." I say, let us so proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what Jesus' friends do. They love each other in intangible ways. Point number two, or characteristic number two, Jesus' friends obey God's commandments. Notice verse 14. "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, in Romans chapter 1, verse 5, Paul declared that it was his apostolic good to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles. What is he saying there? He says, "I want to see real faith through your works." He was saying to the Gentiles, "I want your faith to show its trueness, its life through your works, through good works." And how biblically practical this reality is, for when we obey God, we give really the only possible evidence that in our hearts we believe in God. James tells us that he will show us his faith by his works. True faith is marked by good works. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We have not a dead faith, but a living faith. Now, certainly obedience is not the means of our salvation. Paul says in Romans 3, "By the works of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." Those famous verses in Ephesians chapter 2, "By grace we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any of us should boast." But it is the inevitable result. If you're truly saved, there will be evidence of that. It is the proof that you and I have a new heart, have a saving relationship with Jesus. As branches attached to Christ the vine, we then bear fruit. As Christ's sheep, we hear his voice and we follow him. Remember, Christ said in John chapter 8, verse 31, "If ye continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed." And so just like Abraham, who proved his faith when he was willing to obey God's command to offer up Isaac his son upon the altar, and was therefore called a friend of God's, so we too, as Jesus' friends, trust and obey. We do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Whatsoever Jesus commands us to do, we do it. Jesus' friends obey his commandments. How are we doing so far? Can you be called a friend of Jesus? Friends of Jesus love others. Friends of Jesus obey the commands that Jesus gives us. Characteristic number three, Jesus' friends are the recipients of the truth. Notice verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Slaves/servants usually did not have a close personal relationship with their master, and we can understand that. They were not in on their master's goal setting and planning. Rather, their responsibility was simply to take orders and to obey orders, to do what they were instructed to do. And yes, in the New Testament, we as Christ followers are called doulos, which is the Greek word meaning servants or slaves. We are slaves of Christ. Christ is our Lord. We are, as Paul called himself, a bond servant. But such an accord is certainly not sufficient to fully describe our relationship to Christ. Incredibly, we are called his friend, which carries with it great honor. Listen to how one author designates the standing of being called a friend. And I quote, "This phrase is lit up by a custom practiced at the courts both of the Roman emperors and of kings in the Middle East. At these courts, there was a very select group called the friends of the king or the friends of the emperor. At all times, they had access to the king. They even had the right to come into his bedchamber at the beginning of the day. He talked to them before he talked to his generals, his rulers, and his statesmen. The friends of the king were those who had the closest and most intimate connection with him." End of quote. Wow. That's quite a standing to be called the friend of the king. Well, it is this confidential access that our Lord lovingly and graciously grants to his friends. And after all, isn't he the king? In fact, he's the king of kings. And because they are his friends, our Lord promises to share with them all things, our Lord says, that I have heard from my Father. The truth that originates from my Father, Christ assures his friends, I will make known, I will explain to you. That is a big deal. Listen to Christ's high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, verse 6. He says, I have manifested, this is Christ now praying to his Father, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words, notice, the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and hast known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Notice again, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. How important this instruction is, for as Christ stated in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you what? Free. What God, through his Son, conveys to us, his friends, sets us free. The knowledge and the wisdom Christ conveys to his friends is a great blessing, for it is life-giving and it is liberating. Christ said to his disciples in Luke chapter 10, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see and hear the things which you hear. I think of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. He said, "Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual," in other words, he that is a friend of Christ, "judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You think about that. Jesus gives to us his mind, which is filled with the truth of the living God. Don't you think if you know the truth of the living God, you too live? Wow. That's what he conveys to his friends. We don't perish for a lack of knowledge. We don't spend our years chasing rabbits that lead nowhere. Jesus gives to his friends the ability to know and understand life. Wow. If there was no other reason to be a friend of Jesus, that would be a good one. Amen? And how needful, how helpful, for God's word then becomes that lamp to our feet, that light to our path. We don't stumble and fall here and there. We don't take wrong turns in life. We don't make wrong decisions. We don't waste this month and this year. You know, sometimes it takes, you know, when you take a wrong turn, you don't just get back on the road usually right away. It takes you a while. And I'm not saying that time can be a waste, but, you know, it's like you're running in a race and you take a wrong turn. I mean, everyone else saw the turn, but you didn't. And then you're playing catch up for the next mile of the race. You don't get where you need to be at the time you need to be there. You miss your appointments. You miss your opportunities to minister to the people that God wants you to intersect at that point in time. I say, how amazing Jesus shares with his friends the words of life. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. You don't find words of life on CNN, but you find words of life from this book Jesus wrote. And he wants to share the words of life with his friends. You know, you think about it. You just don't tell everyone everything you know. There's a certain threshold. There are things that I share with Kay I don't share with anyone else because she's my best friend forever. Amen? You just don't walk up to a stranger and just spill the beans. If you do, there's probably something else going on. But you share the intimate truth that has been entrusted to you with your friends. And Jesus says, "I want to be your friend. I want you to be my friend." What a privilege, what a standing. And then there's one more. and I love this one as well. Jesus' friends are personally chosen by him. Then Jesus said to his friends, notice verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, the customary Jewish practice was that a would-be disciple would approach the rabbi he wanted to follow, the teacher he wanted to follow. But here Jesus chose his followers. Here, they didn't choose him, but he chose them. And yes, in salvation there is the free will of man. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I am so glad that it's a whosoever will shall come. Where would we be? There was it that come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But there is also something called foreknowledge and predestination and election and salvation. And Paul declared that in Romans chapter 8, where he said in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, we read, elect or called according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. But I believe here in John chapter 15 is a special calling for Jesus' friends. Jesus ordains his friends for special service. The Greek word used here for chosen has the idea of consecrated to carry out a certain mission. It has the idea of being set apart. And what is that mission that Christ has for us, his friends? Well, it's the proclamation of the gospel. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection to a lost and dying world, which then brings to pass fruit, souls for Christ's kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, Christ gives his friends a mission. And that is to tell the story of why he came. We're celebrating Christmas. We're celebrating his first advent. Why did Jesus come? He was born to save us from our sins. And the friends of Jesus take that message to a lost and dying world. What a privilege we have to share the words of life. How you can not perish but have everlasting life. As one author writes, the Christian life is not a spectator sport. Jesus' friends are not sitting in the stands. They are in the game. Do you know what? Jesus puts his friends in the game. You know, when I was going out for basketball or baseball, your first desire was, Lord, help me to make the team. But once you made the team, I'll tell you, you aren't content to just ride the pine. Amen? You want to get in the game. And Jesus says to his friends, I put you in the game. You are in the starting lineup. We are called, we are chosen to tell the world how they can find salvation, how they can be rescued from sin, death, and hell. Hell is real, ladies and gentlemen. We need to be telling this story of how they can find salvation. We are called to fulfill the Great Commission to go, to make disciples of all nations, and then baptize them, and thereafter to teach them how to live out the Christian life. And as we go, we pray for fruit. We claim that whatsoever we shall ask the Father in Christ's name, he will give it to us, which emphasizes the essential link between prayer and evangelism. Christ uses his friends to love souls to him. What a privilege to love souls to Christ. What a privilege. And so let's think about what Christ has just said here in John 15. He chooses his friends to go make additional followers, believers, so that they too can come to enjoy the privileged blessings of becoming Jesus' friends. You know, it's a privilege to be a friend of Jesus. And so as I close, let us be reminded what characterizes a friend of Jesus. Jesus' friends love one another. Jesus' friends are obedient to what God commands us. And remember, his commandments are not grievous. Jesus' friends are given knowledge and wisdom to know and understand God's word so that they can know and understand life. And Jesus' friends are specifically chosen by him. Oh, might we all be able to truthfully say, what a friend I have in Jesus. Let me ask you, are you a friend of Jesus? If I watched your life, would I see these characteristics in your life? You know, friendship with Jesus begins by receiving him as Savior. Have you come to that point where you've recognized, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior? Jesus has come, he died in my place. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for your sake. Being a friend of Jesus begins with asking Jesus to be your Savior, receiving him into your heart. And then his Spirit fills us, enabling us to treasure Jesus as our dearest friend, best friend forever. Oh, how he loves you and me. The privilege of being called a friend of Jesus.